All right, so you've got this meeting coming up, and Kash Patel's going to be the main topic.
Big meetings, huh?
Yeah, and we want to make sure you're totally prepped, right? We've got news articles, a briefing document, even a whole fact check, the whole nine
Wow, it
yards.
sounds intense.
Yeah, so we're going to dive deep into all this stuff about Patel, how he got picked for FBI director, what it all means.
So where do we start?
Well, first off, Christopher Wray is out.
Out, like gone.
Gone, resigned. Before Trump even takes office.
But didn't Trump appoint him, like back in 2017?
Exactly, a 10-year term,
So
remember?
why is he leaving early?
That's the million-dollar question. But right after Wray resigns, boom, Trump announces Kash Patel as his pick to run the FBI.
I mean, that's got to be a huge deal, Russ. Like, think about the Mar-a-Lago raid.
Exactly, that was all under Wray.
This is a powerful position.
Okay, so let's talk about Kash Patel for a second.
All right, lay it on me.
Anyone who was following the Trump administration, especially during the Russiagate stuff, they know the name.
Right.
But for those who maybe need a refresher, who is this guy?
Well, he was a big player in the Trump White House, lawyer for the National Security Council, even acting chief of staff to the acting Secretary of Defense.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, and known for his loyalty to Trump and pretty outspoken about criticizing what he calls the deep state.
Ah, yes. The deep state. That's a recurring theme, isn't it? He even wrote a book about it, right?
He did.
And didn't he have like an enemies list in there or something?
It's worth noting that the term enemies list doesn't actually show up in the book.
Really?
Yeah, but there is this appendix, and he lists a bunch of officials that he calls corrupt actors.
Wait, hold on. We have a fact check here, and it says his book doesn't use the term enemies list.
Huh.
It mentions an appendix listing officials that Patel considers to be corrupt actors. So is it an enemies list or not?
Well, he definitely singles out certain people, especially
Jeez.
those who are involved in investigations against Trump. I think it definitely raises some questions.
Yeah, it's definitely giving deep state vibes for sure.
For sure.
Okay, but this deep state concept, for those who may not be totally familiar, what does it even mean? It sounds kind of like, I don't know, conspiracy theory-ish.
Yeah, it's this idea of unelected officials, bureaucrats, agencies operating behind the scenes. And the idea is that they're manipulating government policy no matter who's actually in charge.
Interesting.
Yeah, the term's been around for a while, but it's definitely gained some traction, especially among certain political groups who see it as like this big threat.
So putting on my meeting prep hat for a second, I guess whether or not you actually believe in this deep state idea, knowing the term, knowing the lingo
Yeah.
is probably helpful, right?
Absolutely. It helps you kind of understand like the motivation behind Patel's nomination. And I think it also leads into some of the potential consequences.
Okay, so let's get into that then, the potential consequences. What happens if someone who's so focused on fighting this deep state actually becomes the head of the FBI?
Well, I think there's a real worry about like the politicization of the FBI.
In what way?
I mean, imagine an FBI director whose main goal is targeting people they see as enemies, driven by some political agenda instead of actually just upholding the law.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
And Patel hasn't exactly been shy about wanting to, root out this deep state. What does that look like in practice? It's a big question.
Well, hold on. There's this other thing in this briefing doc that I found kind of interesting. Apparently, Patel himself was secretly surveilled by the DOJ.
Wait, what?
Yeah, back in 2017, part of some investigation. What was that all about?
I mean, the details are still a little fuzzy. But we know that Patel, along with some other lawmakers, were under surveillance without their knowledge.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it raises some serious questions about, like, overreach, maybe even political motivations within the DOJ itself.
Whoa. It's like Patel's convinced there's this deep state working against Trump, and then he ends up being targeted in this secretive investigation.
Yeah, it's a little too close for comfort, isn't it? This is a tangled web we're dealing with here. Lots of accusations flying around and lots of unanswered questions.
So much to unpack here. I feel like we're just scratching the surface of this whole Kash Patel and FBI thing.
Oh yeah, we've got a lot more to dig into.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the politicization of the FBI, but like, how would this actually play out in the real
Yeah,
world?
that's what I'm wondering too. What would it actually look like?
Well, imagine like the FBI starts prioritizing investigations based on, political connections instead of actual evidence.
Ooh, that's a scary thought.
It could have a chilling effect on free speech and political dissent.
That's wild. What about the FBI agents themselves? What do you think they would think about a director who's so openly, partisan?
That's a great question. You could definitely see some demoralization within the FBI. Like, These agents who've built their careers on upholding the law impartially, they might feel conflicted.
Yeah, for sure.
Even pressured to conform to a political agenda, you could see a loss of talent, loss of expertise.
And we can't forget about public trust, right? Like, right. If people start to see the FBI as just a tool for political vendettas.
Oh, absolutely. The FBI relies so much on public cooperation. I mean, to solve crimes, to keep communities safe. If that trust is broken, it makes their job so much harder.
It's giving me some serious J. Edgar Hoover vibes.
Interesting comparison.
You know, back in the day, the FBI was accused of using its power to go after political opponents. Are we going back to those days?
Well, Hoover's FBI was infamous for, like, overreach and abuse of power.
Hmm.
I mean, there are safeguards in place now to try to prevent that from happening again.
Hopefully.
But Patel's nomination definitely raises some questions, like, are those safeguards enough?
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. What strikes me is the level of distrust, you know? It feels like we're living in two totally different realities.
That's a great point. We're increasingly living in these echo chambers. We only see information that confirms what we already believe.
It's true.
It makes it so much harder to have real conversations about, you know, difficult issues like this one.
So what can we do about it? How do we actually, like, bridge this gap, have these meaningful conversations?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
I think part of it is being willing to engage with perspectives that are different from our own.
Yeah.
And to be critical of the information that we're taking in, to fact-check things, to be aware of our own biases.
All good points. But back to Patel for a minute. What happens next with all this?
Well, his nomination goes to the Senate now. They have confirmation hearings.
And those will be interesting.
You can bet on it. I mean, the Democrats are already voicing pretty strong opposition.
Yeah, I bet.
And even some Republicans are expressing concerns. This is going to be a battle for sure. Okay. And the outcome, it's really up in the air.
Okay, so let's say, just for argument's sake, Patel gets confirmed. What should we be watching for? What are the signs?
Well, a few things. Keep an eye on what kinds of investigations the FBI prioritizes. Are they focusing on real threats, you know, national security threats?
Right.
Or are they going after political enemies?
Makes sense. What about, like, personnel changes within the FBI?
Yeah, that's another big one. Who does Patel appoint to key positions?
Patel.
Are they experienced professionals? Are they impartial? Or are they just loyalists with a history of partisan activity?
It's like, we need another whole deep dive just to figure out what to watch for if Patel actually gets in.
I think you're right about that. I mean, this is just the beginning of the story. It's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds.
So many twists and turns. Well, one thing's for sure. You are going to be walking into that meeting super well informed.
You got it.
All the background, the context, you can handle anything.
That's what these deep dives are all about, right? Not just giving information, but like empowering you to think for yourself.
Yeah.
Question assumptions, you know?
Exactly.
Make informed decisions.
We've covered so much today, and there's still more to uncover. Ready to dive into some of the legal challenges Patel might face and what all this means for the future of the FBI. Okay, so we've talked about the potential fallout, the big picture stuff, but how does this all play out legally? What are the actual legal challenges Patel's nomination might face?
Well, nominations this controversial, they rarely go smoothly. I mean, look at Robert Bork back in 87. Supreme Court nomination became a political football and ultimately failed. Patel's nomination could be headed for a similar fight.
Okay, so break it down. What specific legal challenges could come up?
Well, one thing opponents might try is challenging his qualifications. I mean, the FBI director, that job needs someone with a deep understanding of law enforcement, intelligence, counterterrorism.
Right, of course.
And some critics argue that Patel's background, while strong in some areas, it might not be the right fit for an agency as complex as the FBI.
But he did have those high-level positions in the Trump administration. Some were even related to national security. Wouldn't that count for something?
It definitely adds to his resume, but the argument against him might be that those roles were more about, you know, pushing a specific agenda.
I see.
Not necessarily about getting a broad understanding of what the FBI actually does, all the different things they're responsible for.
So it's not just experience, it's the right kind of experience.
Exactly. And then there's the whole issue of Patel's involvement in, you know, some of the past controversies. The Russiagate investigation, the whole thing with the DOJ surveillance. Those things could come up during confirmation hearings and raise some serious doubts about his judgment, his impartiality.
It sounds like those hearings are going to be pretty crucial then.
Absolutely. Make or break for Patel.
So what should we be looking for specifically during those hearings? What are the key things to watch for?
This is where all that deep dive prep comes in handy. Pay close attention to how Patel answers the tough questions about his past, his views on the deep state, what his plans for the FBI would be.
Right.
Does he seem, you know, reasonable, impartial, or does he just double down on all that partisan rhetoric?
And how about the senators themselves?
Oh, for sure. Watch how they question Patel, both Democrats and Republicans. Are they really trying to get at his qualifications?
Yeah.
Or are they just using it as a chance to score political points?
It's like we're watching a political thriller unfold in real time.
It kind of is, right? And the outcome of this whole thing, it could have huge implications, not just for Patel and the FBI, but for, like, the future of democracy in this country.
Okay, let's zoom out for a second. Beyond the immediate drama, what does all of this tell us about the FBI itself, its role in society?
I think it points to this growing worry about, you know, the politicization of these important institutions, law enforcement, intelligence agencies. In this super polarized political environment, it's a real danger.
Mm.
These institutions that are supposed to be neutral, they can be used as weapons.
And that loss of trust, that's dangerous, right?
Incredibly dangerous. It undermines the rule of law. It makes it way harder to deal with real threats.
To our safety or security.
Exactly. If people stop believing in the FBI, that they're fair, impartial, it's almost impossible to agree on the big stuff. Counterterrorism, cybersecurity, even just basic law enforcement. Everything becomes a fight.
So where do we even go from here? How do we fix this? How do we restore trust in the FBI?
That's the big question, right? It's going to take a real commitment from leaders across the political spectrum. They need to prioritize the integrity, the independence of these agencies.
This is a tough job.
They have to hold people accountable when they abuse their power. We need more transparency, more accountability.
It's a tall order, but it feels essential. If we want to save our democracy, this is what we got to do. Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into Kash Patel and the FBI. We started with some breaking news, we explored all the complexities, and we even looked ahead to some potential consequences. You're now ready for that meeting. You've got the information, the insights, all the tools you need to understand what's going on and to stay informed as this story continues to unfold.
Remember, this is just the beginning. Stay curious, stay engaged, keep asking those tough questions. The future of the FBI, heck, the future of our democracy, might just depend on it.
That's all for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us. And remember, knowledge is power.